And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Mattathias, was written by Mark Siegel. It is presented in celebration of Hanukkah, the Jewish Feast of the Maccabees. There it is, the sound of attack. I used to wonder, why does he keep me here? Why does he chain me to my quill and parchment when every man is needed against Israel's enemy? There goes our cavalry. Once I said to him, Judah, is the chronicle more important than the deed? Are the words I write more important than victory? And he answered,
Yochanan, victory is important for today, but the chronicle is important for tomorrow.
Thus it is that I, Yochanan, the eldest son of Mattathias, sit in a cave and by the flickering candlelight urge my quill across the parchment, recording for generations yet to come the exploits of Judah and my brothers. Still, there is another part of the story I would tell, that part which comes before the battles and the military strategy. For if the chronicle is for tomorrow, the record of the victories of my brother Judah Maccabee is less important than the record of another struggle, the inner struggle of my father Mattathias. My father was a great man, but in no way greater than in his righteousness and firmness of belief. I knew at first, I think, the day we left Jerusalem, our holy city. That afternoon, my father came striding into our house from the street, his face flushed and angry, calling my name.
Yochanan.
I'm here, Father.
Yochanan, call your brothers together.
What has happened, Father?
Nothing that has not happened before. I have walked through the streets of our holy city. That is all.
Walked through the street?
Call your brothers.
Only Judah and Simeon are here, my father. The young ones are in the place of hiding, where you wished them.
We will get them later. For now, call your brothers.
Yes, Father. Simeon!
Judah! We hear you, Yochanan.
Our father would speak with us.
We are here, Father.
Listen to me carefully. Simeon, you will go to the place of hiding and fetch your brothers Eleazar and Jonathan.
Yes, Father.
And you will meet us at sunset outside the city on the road to the sea.
Outside the city?
Outside the city. Yochanan and Judah, you will gather up our belongings, all we can carry with us. We are leaving Jerusalem.
Leaving Jerusalem?
That is what I said, Judah.
Forsaking the holy city, Father. Forsaking the temple?
We will never forsake the temple, Simeon. But we are leaving Jerusalem.
But, Father...
What is it, Judah?
Father, 2 weeks ago, when the Syrians put so many to the sword...
Yes, I know. I said we would never desert Jerusalem. But today I have walked through the streets of the city.
My father, I hear your words, but I do not understand their meaning.
Yochanan, Simeon, Judah, hear me. When Antiochus defiled the temple, I wept in my heart. When the Holy of Holies was desecrated, my cry went up to heaven. In the streets of our city, there are Jews who ape the ways of the Syrians and the Greeks.
It is detestable, Father. But is it not to preserve their lives? Is it not for safety?
Simeon, my son, God commands us to preserve life, but not at the cost of our belief in him.
But cannot a man believe one way yet act another?
Only an unimportant thing, Simeon. Do you think it is only a minor compromise that these misguided ones are making?
The ones who dress as the Syrians and Greeks, Father?
The ones who have betrayed the core of their own belief, Simeon. What the Syrians ask of us is nothing less than the substitution of man and things made by man for the worship of the infinite God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, my sons, we shall not stay in Jerusalem. I can suffer a Jerusalem desecrated by the Syrian, but I cannot abide in a city of hollow men.
We left Jerusalem, the city of our birth, the city of our temple, and went to the village of Modin. The soft winds blew across our vineyards and the sun shone softly on our lovely village. There we grew up, we five, and in Modin, my father seemed content to till his fields and to worship the God of Abraham, forgetting the flow of evil in the world beyond.
Hold the plow firmly, Judah. The furrow must be straight.
I will, Father.
It will be a good crop with God's help.
With God's help and our care. Father.
Yes, Judah?
I am troubled.
Troubled, my son? Oh, what troubles you?
Father, do you not care any more what happens to our people?
Care? Judah, I care with all my heart, with all my soul.
Then how do we go on like this? Concerned only with the crops and seasons. Wondering only will the harvest be good or the grapes sweet.
Even in a time of crisis, Judah, life must be carried forward.
When a storm is brewing, when...
I see even greater storms brewing, Judah.
Then why do we hide? Why do we not act?
Hide, Judah? We do not hide. We go on living.
It is an escape, Father. It is cowardly.
Cowardly? Judah, you are young. You have much to learn.
I say only that by doing nothing, we invite disaster, Father.
By doing nothing? Judah, do you think that heroism is to be found only in battle? It is not so.
Is there heroism in plowing a field, Father?
Sometimes there is greater heroism in plowing a field than in vanquishing an army. Believe me, my son, we need a courage greater than in battle now. The courage to go on preparing the field. In time, there will be a harvest.
Evil in the world is like a weed in the fields. If it is not rooted out at its source, it will spread until it chokes off everywhere all of man's spiritual sustenance. And while we dwelt in Modin, trying to understand our father's self-restraint, the wicked root of evil was in Antioch, the capital of Syria.
Now, therefore, I, Antiochus, king of Syria, ruler of nations, do proclaim that the lands under my hand shall be one, and the people one. From this day on, no Israelite may keep the Sabbath or observe the Jewish festivals. Forbidden books shall be burned. Prayer or study is forbidden. Circumcision is forbidden. The penalty shall be death.
The time for waiting is over, Father. It is a time for action.
Oh, have patience, Judah.
Patience when they attack our holy Torah, when they forbid study, when they burn the holy scrolls of the law?
There are many kinds of resistance, my son.
There is only one kind the Syrians will understand, Father. The force of arms.
Judah, there are moments when there is no choice. But we have not come to that.
Then what do you counsel, Father? That we should bare our necks to the Syrian sword? That we should sacrifice ourselves and submit to slaughter?
Do not speak with contempt of men who are willing to bear witness to their faith with their lives, Judah.
Forgive me, Father. But it is a senseless sacrifice.
It takes its toll, Judah.
Of our people.
Of our people, yes. Freedom cannot be bought cheaply. It also takes toll of the enemy.
Judah and I and Simeon, we only half understood him. And our confusion was the greater, for from others, my father Mattathias seemed to demand full resistance. It was almost
almost as if he chose from each man that part of him which was the truth.
Come in. Ah, Nathan Ben Yitzhak. What brings you here?
Mattathias, you are the elder of this village. Why do you endanger the security of our population?
I? Well, what have I done?
You counsel resistance to Antiochus.
I counsel only that we cleave to our ancient faith.
After all, what does Antiochus require of us? The gesture of a bow, a token of conformity.
I had heard this of you, Nathan, but I had not believed it.
Times are changing, Mattathias. We must change with them.
Some things cannot change, Nathan.
Why should we not accept this new culture, Mattathias? Hellenism is not unworthy of us. It's art, it's literature.
Its art and literature are but a cover for the intentions of Antiochus.
And what is so wrong with those intentions? To include our country in the empire. To help us prosper through trade with others.
Oh, Nathan, you do not understand what is at stake.
I came here in friendship, Mattathias, not to be reproved.
Still, you will not look below the surface.
I look below the surface, and what I see is an unreasoning stubbornness, a refusal to move forward with history.
History makes other demands of men than that they should conform, Nathan.
And what are those demands, Mattathias?
That a man should seek the truth, and seek it without fear.
And what has this to do with Antiochus, who seeks only a prosperous and orderly empire?
Everything, Nathan. Everything. Antiochus would command my conscience.
He asks only loyalty. Cannot a king ask loyalty of his subjects?
He can ask that which is his due, Nathan. But he cannot impose his will as final and absolute. That is the realm of God.
And it is as I thought. You counsel rebellion.
I counsel only resistance.
And disloyalty.
I have a loyalty to Antiochus, Nathan, and I recognize it. But there is a higher loyalty to my own conscience and my God. There is a core of me which goes out to God, and this no man or human institution can command.
It was as if a battle raged within my father, Mattathias. And yet at each step along the way, his decisions were firm, his faith unyielding.
Hey, Judah, what are you doing?
Preparing, Father. I've beaten a plowshare into a sword.
Well, the commandment is for peace, Judah. We are a people of peace.
But
cast the sword away.
Father, it is the Syrians who make war, not we.
Judah, I command you, cast the sword away.
I obey you, my father. But I ask you only this. When will the time of waiting be over? When?
When, Judah? When there is no other way.
Throughout the land, our people held to the ways of their fathers, and the soil of resistance was prepared for the harvest of freedom. Antiochus, enraged and desperate, turned upon Jerusalem, desecrated the temple, and plunged all Israel into mourning. We clothed ourselves in sackcloth and ashes and prayed to the God of our fathers. And on the third day following, the first soldiers came to Modin, and a procession made its way to the house of my father, Mattathias.
Company! Halt! Open! In the name of Antiochus, the king.
My door is open.
Mattathias?
By the will of those who dwell in it.
An unimportant detail. I am Apelles, the newly appointed governor in this district.
I've heard your name.
You have. Well, what in the name of Zeus are you wearing?
Sackcloth, Apelles. Sackcloth and ashes.
Is that a custom in Modin?
It is a custom among my people when we are stricken with grief.
Oh, Mattathias, there is the difficulty. You Jews, you have so many outlandish customs.
Do they harm the state, Apelles?
Come now, Mattathias. That has all been decided. Antiochus wants his kingdom to be one people. He wants unity among the nations. They say that you are a wise man. Surely
You can understand the needs for unity?
Apelles, I believe in unity. I believe all men are brothers.
Good, good.
But I also believe that no man is worthy of absolute loyalty.
Careful, Mattathias. Syria cannot tolerate that kind of talk even from an old man.
Well, then that is Syria's weakness.
There! It begins with a custom and ends with treason.
I ask only the freedom to worship my God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Mattathias, consider the consequences of your words. Give yourself time. I will be back. Mattathias, be sensible.
I'm trying to be a
police. You are the elder of this village. I want you to set a good example.
I shall do my best.
Ah, that is better. I will make you a wealthy man, Mattathias.
The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are truthful, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold.
Mattathias, I am ready to confer an honor on you. I have erected an altar to Zeus in the marketplace. You will be the first to make a sacrifice on it.
Upon a pagan altar? Not while I breathe, Apelles.
Oh, come, my friend, it is only a symbol.
It is because it's a symbol that I will not bow down to it, Apelles.
Mattathias, I want no trouble here. I do not wish to see blood shed in your pleasant little village.
Are you threatening me?
I merely express a preference.
Do you expect me to fear you more than I fear my God?
Well, I have tried. You are as stubborn as the rest. If it is not you, it will be someone else.
No Jew in Modin will sacrifice upon the altar of tyranny, Apelles. I tell you now.
Who are you, old man, to defy the king? When mighty nations bow before his edicts.
I am a man, Apelles. A man with my own conscience and my own belief. Though all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him, yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of my fathers.
I went to the marketplace with my father and my brothers, and we stood while every living soul of Modin waited for the words of Apelles.
Who will be the first?
No one in all the marketplace stirred.
Who will be the first to sacrifice upon the altar of the great god Zeus?
Still, no one moved. Then Apelles marched toward us. But it was not before my father that he stopped. It was before Nathan Ben Yitzchak, standing pale and nervous next to us, that Apelles paused.
I thought we had made an agreement, Nathan Ben Yitzchak.
Yes, Apelles.
Then go to the altar!
My father looked at Nathan, and there was pity in his eyes.
Hey, Nathan... Do you understand what you are doing?
It's just a statue.
Before which you sacrifice your conscience?
Mattathias, what else can I do?
There are moments when there is no choice, Nathan.
Forgive me, Mattathias.
It is not I who can forgive you, Nathan.
To the altar! Nathan Ben Yitzchak!
It is not only yourself you betray, Nathan. I hear a thousand generations yet unborn crying. If you appease this abomination, you betray them and their children after them.
Nathan turned his face from my father's eyes, and my father said,
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor bow down before them, nor serve them.
Yet Nathan Ben Yitzchak started for the altar.
Nathan, my son, remember the commandment. To worship another god is a capital sin.
Still, Nathan walked towards the altar and my father behind him. I watched my father. His body began to tremble.
And as Nathan reached the altar, my father, in one swift motion, took the knife that lay upon it and plunged it into Nathan Ben Yitzhak's chest.
Apelles! There is your sacrifice!
The Syrian started, his sword drawn towards my father, but in a single lunge, Judah and Simeon were upon him.
No! No!
As if by signal, every man in Modin grappled with a mercenary, seizing swords and spears to strike down the enemy of Israel. It lasted only a few minutes, and then... it was over. Our marketplace was strewn with dead, and over the corpses of the Syrian mercenaries, my father climbed to the synagogue steps.
Lord God of Abraham, we pray for thy forgiveness.
Amen. Amen.
From this day on, we shall continue to pray with even greater fervor for thy forgiveness. But we shall also pray that our arms be blessed with victory.
Amen.
People of Modin, whosoever is zealous for the law, follow me.
We fled to the mountains and the caves. And throughout the land of Israel, the word of Mattathias, my father, rallied those who had not forgotten their covenant with God. From our hiding place, under the leadership of Judah, my brother, him they first called the Maccabee, we scoured the countryside, harassing the king's troops. Free men, fighting for the first time in the world's history for the freedom to believe as we would and to worship the God of our fathers. But the life was arduous. And Mattathias, my father, old.
Yochanan.
I've not left your bedside, father.
Water, Yochanan.
I have it here, my father.
Judah, Simeon, where are they?
All of us are here, father.
Oh, good, good. My sons, listen carefully. The breath of life will leave me soon.
No, Father, do not say it.
Yet it will. Simeon, you especially listen, for you shall be a judge among our people.
Yes, Father.
And Judah, you shall be the hammer of justice that carries our people to victory. So you hear my words.
I hear them, Father.
In our day, tyranny and cruelty have gained mastery. The God of our fathers will deliver us. Yes, he will deliver us, though we be few and our enemies many. But he expects man to assert himself in the fulfillment of his will. My sons, be strong, be firm. Rise up. Submit to tyranny no longer. Yet if you must die, die in pride and indignation. Rebuke the enemy. Cleave to the law. And remember always that the law is not an end unto itself. It is a means to life and the dignity of human spirit.
Our warriors are returning from the battle. By their faces, I can tell it is another victory. Yet, as Judah says, their victory is for today, and my chronicle, this chronicle, and the story of my father Mattathias, is for tomorrow, that men may take courage from it in all times and places, and battle in God's name against tyranny, to keep bright the flame of freedom in the hearts and minds of men.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Jack Levand, member of the National Cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and a prominent community leader, Mr. Levand.
It has always seemed to me that Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, is, in addition to being a holiday having significance for the Jewish people, a holiday commemorating an event of importance to all people. The brave effort of the Maccabees in overcoming their enemies, which is celebrated on this holiday, is a milestone in world history, since Hanukkah records a major struggle for religious liberty in world history, a successful stand made for the right to worship God in one's own way. It has, therefore, served as an inspiration to all subsequent fighters for freedom and truth. This continuous fight for religious freedom is an expression of all that is finest in the human spirit, for it is at such times in history that the dignity of man is asserted against oppression. This struggle for religious liberty is part of, and perhaps the most noble expression, of the entire concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, upon which our own nation is founded. For what is liberty but the idea that not only does each person have the right to pursue what he believes is right, insofar as it does not harm others, but also that those with whom we do not agree have this self-same right. It is a concept that no one can impose his will upon another, when such an imposition means a violation of that person's most fundamental beliefs. It is just such flouting of this basic freedom which we must deplore in parts of Europe and Asia today, since it is the denial of the dignity of the human spirit, a snuffing out of that which makes man close to God. The menorah, which Jews all over the world keep burning during the Hanukkah festival, is, to me, a perfect symbol of the continuation of this struggle for religious freedom. For since the time of Mattathias, for 2,000 years, Jews have lit these candles in their homes, and where these candles burn, there freedom opposes tyranny and truth falsehood.
Thank you, Mr. Levand. Our Eternal Light drama today, Mattathias, was written by Mark Siegel and was presented in celebration of Hanukkah, the Jewish Feast of the Maccabees. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Arthur Hughes, Mandel Kramer, Roger DeCoven, Bert Cowlin, Danny Occo, and Ralph Camargo. Your narrator was Alexander Scorby. This is Mel Brandt. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and is directed by Daniel Satter. This is the NBC Radio Network.